Okay, we're blessed to have the opportunity to lay in Parshas Balak this coming Shabbos. And of course, Balak and Bilam get involved in this exciting debate. And even before they get into the opportunity to debate, Balak sends Bilam a number of officers to go ahead and get them to come join him. Vayakam Bilam Baboker, the Torah tells us in Perek HaFeith Pasuk Yud Gimel that Bilam got up in the morning and he told the Sari Balak to go home, Ki me'ena Hashem ziti lahalochi machem, because Hashem has refused the opportunity to go with you. And Or HaChaim HaKadosh notes that this shows us the further evil of Bilam. Why did he get up so early in the morning? Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, he got up early in the morning to get them to leave before breakfast, because if they would stay for breakfast, he was going to have to pay for them to have breakfast. So in order to get them out, he set them up Baboker, he sent them off Baboker. So Shraga Grossbard, Zeched Tzadik Lebracha, asks why we need to further see the evil of Bilam. What was to be gained by showing us that he wanted to curse the Jews, and also he didn't want to feed this Arim breakfast? So Rav Shraga answers that we see here that one is considered to be a Russian in relation to his connection Bein Adam LaMakom is also going to be considered to be a Russian his relationship Bein Adam LaChavero. In other words, a person can't be such a tzaddik Bein Adam LaChavero unless you have heavenly guidance. And so, by definition, if you thought that, okay, so Klapei Shemaya, he may be a Russia, but Bilam was an okay guy, you should just know when somebody is a Russia Klapei Shemaya, he's also, by the way, going to be a Russia down here as well. Bilam, of course, has a major conversation with his donkey. And he tells the donkey, after the donkey miraculously opens its mouth, Bilam makes the statement that, Louis Al-Altabi, you played with me. And the question has to be asked, how could it be that Bilam experienced the miracle of a talking donkey and he remains unmoved by it and spoke to it as if it was a regular occurrence to him? So Reb Chaim Kanievsky Shalita explained that Bilam wanted to woo the princes of Balak into thinking that this was indeed a regular occurrence and that he was sought after by the world over, including the animals who wanted to talk to him. However, when he lost the argument to the donkey, he demonstrated the exact opposite, that even the donkey is capable of beating him in an argument. What an incredible experience for an individual who wanted to achieve the exact opposite. So, Bilam begins his process, and every time he opens his mouth, he winds up with the intention of cursing Am Yisrael, but instead he winds up giving them a bracha. So the Pasuk tells us that one of the brachas he offered was the fact that Hein Am Levadad Yeshkon Ubagoyim Lo Yisrashav. They're a nation that dwells by itself and is not considered by other nations. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman Hashemim Kamdam of Zecher Tzadik Levracha notes that an Am is a nation with a common set of spiritual values. A goy, or bagoyim lo yisrashav, a goy is a nation that derives its connection through the fact that the land that it's based upon is its common heritage. That is to say, the fact that we grew up in the same neighborhood, that's the only thing that puts us together. Bnei Yisrael, says Rabbi Chanan, are unique because we continue to survive as a nation not only when we are on our land. Our land provides us with an opportunity to reach our real purpose, to fulfill the will of Hashem. However, it's not the land alone that makes us thrive as a nation. Hein Am Levadad Yishkon, we are alone, and we are an Am. We are uniquely an Am. We stay an Am no matter what happens to us and where we find ourselves. Vayasem Lemidbar Panav, the Torah tells us that after that first episode of blessing the people, he turned his face towards the desert. And Rashi quotes Unkelus over here, who notes that by turning to the desert, Bilam was hoping to get Hashem to remember the sins of Bnei Yisrael that took place in the desert, specifically the Avera of the Egel Hazav. So Rav Shlomo Volba, Zeched Tzadik Livracha, explains that that's the style that comes out of the Sota as well, whose karban, we're told, is a minchas kenos maskeres avon. It reminds us of sin. Rav Volbi points out that remembering sin can be dangerous as well. Similarly, remembering sin can also make one remember the enjoyment that took place when the sin was committed, which in turn could limit the power of the tshuva from the sin. Proper tshuva does not require a detailed analysis of the avera experience. Proper tshuva requires an individual to be aware that chatasi, I did the avera, and I need to go ahead and do something as a result. I need to do something in order to improve. Not to focus on every aspect, which in turn might and atone for every aspect out loud. Because that type of atonement can possibly, God forbid, lead to an appreciation, and maybe even, God forbid, not only an insincere tshuva, but a tshuva that will lead to further avera. The famous pasuk that gets uttered in this week's parasha, Matovu Alecha Yaakov, how wondrous are your tents, Yaakov. When Targum Yonason explains that Bilam was praising the tents of the yeshivas that Yaakov Avinu learned in. The question needs to be asked, why did Yaakov Avinu's tents get praised? What tents of Yaakov Avinu was he talking about? Yaakov Avinu was already dead. So Bilam is looking at tents in the Midbar. What's the comparison? What does he mean? So Moshe Shmuel Shapiro, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, explains that Bilam was impressed by the consistency of the Batei Gerasios and Batei Midrashos of the day that he was standing out there. He was amazed by the fact that they were clearly able to mimic those that Yaakov Avinu had studied in, based on the fact that they were consistent, and the approach to the yeshivas in the time of Moshe was similar to the approach of Ohalim that existed in the time of Yaakov. That, says Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro, was the key to our survival. The idea that when we approach the tents, that we are always there in order to be able to explain it and experience it fully. Oy, mi yechia misumo el. Oy, Rav Shechter Shlita, noted on a number of occasions, the Targum uses the translation of ve for oi. So Rav Shechter B'derech Tzachos says a slight word pointed out that maybe this is the source for the term oi ve. Oi is Hebrew, ve is Aramaic, there we go. So Rav Shechter, though, more correctly or more deeply explained in the name of the Rambam that this is the great challenge of wars that involves nations that turn humans into gods. The Crusades and other wars were much more heinous because they were launched in the name of men turned into gods. Yashka, for instance. The Netziv expands on that point. The Netziv adds that whenever a battle is launched over religious ideals, then everybody who doesn't adopt the religion of the aggressor is liable to lose his or her life. And so therefore, says the Netziv, these battles are much worse because the enemy is a lot deeper, and unfortunately in our lifetime we have actually seen that in a much greater detail. Towards the end of the parasha, we have the unfortunate experience of learning about the episode of Baal Peor. Vayitzamed Yisrael Baal Peor, Vaychar Af Hashem B'Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael joined themselves to Baal Peor, and Hashem's anger was aroused. Of all the Avodah Zarahs that get mentioned, why does Peor play such a great role on Klal Yisrael's image? It's a constant theme that Hashem keeps reminding us of. So Rav Ami tells Atzal, the Rosh Yeshiva of Har Etzion, for many years explained that Peor's method of service was in its natural way. It made it acceptable to do or engage in a manner that, while natural, was not wholesome. Says Rav Ami tells, sometimes in life we need to decide that there needs to be an element of busha in life in order to handle the challenges of healthy Torah-style living. Knowing when to glorify natural living and when to keep it personal and quiet is part of Jewish success. Sometimes people say, well, but it's natural. Not everything natural needs to be public. Not everything natural needs to be expressed. And when it is, that's an avodah zarah. That's a very weird thing. Living in a time where every single experience that a person has becomes a movement. These are the people who go this way. These are the people who do this way. It's not everything needs to be a movement. Sometimes those movements need to be made in private. Finally, in the Haftorah, we read from the book of Micha, V'echrati kshafim miyadecho ma'onanim lo yiyulach, that I'll cut off witchcraft from your hand, and you will not have ma'onanim. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Samach Beis Amid Beis notes that a ma'onin is a faker who uses the sleight of hand to his advantage. And Rabbi Akiva suggests that no, a ma'onin is one who uses the calendar to express several times that are not spelled out to be omens. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky decried the proliferation of people who seek out segulos as omens. The only good omens, says Rabbi Yaakov, are the ones that are consistent with the Shulchan Aruch. So a person who suggests, oh, but this is a good time, it's a good teshuah, right? Or this is a bad time. And that time is not stated in Shulchan Aruch, or it's not identified as being a Jewish idea. It's not just that the person is adding, the person can very possibly be considered a ma'one. Similarly, Rav Aaron Leib Shteinman Shlita suggested that segulos only work when they're connected to mitzvah observance. When a person just decides, this is a segula, I'm going to burn up some dough, right? Or I'm going to say some magic incantations, that's ma'onin. A person's not supposed to do that. We live in a nation where the easiest segulos are to learn Torah and to fulfill the will of Hashem. And if we make it our business to do so, not only will we experience a Shabbat Shalom, but we'll experience Moadim L'Simcha L'Geula Shalema Shabbat Shalom to all.